Hey, God bless you, and welcome to your Limitless Life broadcast on this Double Blessing Tuesday. This is James Moffat. I'm senior pastor of Church Unlimited here in beautiful, right now, especially beautiful Indio, California. And if you are ever near us and you can stop by, we know that you would be, God would richly bless you for doing that. And we sure would love to have you. I want to, before I'm going to wait and see, wait just for a little bit longer to see if a few more people will get on. But I want to remind you, if you don't know already, we've put out a couple flyers on Facebook, and that we are about to have, we're about to begin revival this month with the evangelist Sandy Moffat, my mother, and on Friday, February 21st through Sunday, the 23rd at 10 a.m. So Friday night at 7 p.m., Saturday night at 7 p.m., and then Sunday morning at 10 a.m., we're going to be in revival with evangelist Sandy Moffat. And if you are able to be there, hey, Jenny, love you so much. Thank God you're watching. And all those that are watching, if you can let us know you're watching and where you're watching from, we'd sure appreciate that. But I don't know if you guys heard me or not, but we are going to be in revival February 21st through the 23rd with evangelist Sandy Moffat, my mother. And if you are able to be here at all, I strongly encourage you to be here. I'm telling you, God is going to move in a mighty way, and the fire of God is going to break out in these services. He already is. If you come to our church, or if you've been to Church Unlimited at all, you know we may not have all the bells and whistles that some churches may have, and there's nothing wrong with that. We thank God and are believing God for greater things in those areas. But the one thing that I do thank God for is that the presence of the Lord and the glory of God is in our services, literally. You can feel the tangible presence of the Holy Ghost. And so that's one thing we will never substitute or apologize for, that we are literally a Holy Ghost filled, on fire for God church. And we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believes. And I'm telling you, I'm so excited about these services that are coming up. Right, and then right after that, we have another big announcement to make, and we're so excited for everything that God is doing in this year so far. You know, we started this year, and I know many of you that are watching with us joined with us, and some of you for the first time have joined us. And on maybe for the first time, you fasted for the first time in your life. And we started out this year, as we do every year, at our church, and me personally, my wife as well. We start out with a 21-day fast. And you know, the Bible says that, you know, when God talks about, he said, "Did I not call this fast? And will I not break forth speedily in your life?" And I'm telling you that if you're watching this broadcast tonight, and again, if you're watching Sister Anita, God bless you, Sister Kathy, God bless you, Sister Jessica, God bless you, my wife Cheryl, love you so much, God, that you are watching this broadcast, I know that you're going to be blessed, not just because that you're hearing me speak, but that I believe that God has a word for you today to encourage you, you know, not to discourage you. That's the enemy's job. Our job is to, God's word builds up and edifies, and you are going to be blessed by watching. But that's what God said. He said, "Did I not call this fast? And because I called," Sister Pat, God bless you, "I called this fast, and you partnership, you did this fast." He said, "I'm going to break forth in your life speedily." And that's what I want to talk to us about tonight. And the Lord laid this upon my heart even this morning. Been working on this all the way up until the time of the broadcast. This is what the Lord had laid upon my heart for tonight, is supernatural acceleration. And I believe with all my heart that the year 2020 is a year of supernatural acceleration. I believe that this year, God is going to move speedily in your life in Jesus' mighty name. This year isn't going to be like any other year that you have experienced up to this point. And I, like I said, I believe it with everything that is within me. And maybe it hasn't felt like that, you know, to you since January 1st all the way to February 18th. And today is my dad's birthday. And if he's watching, I want to say, Dad, how much I love you. I thank God for you. Pray God's best for you this year. I love you with all my heart. Turned 70 years old, and you've been nothing but a gift and a blessing to my life, and I love you so much. But you may, Sister Abby, God bless you. You may have not felt like that, that from January 1st all the way till February 18th, you may have, you know, the devil may have been making you feel like, you know what, I thought something, you know, this year was going to be one way, but I just feel like, you know, the things that have happened all the way up to this point, it just feels like this is going to be a year just like every other year. No, don't allow that to proceed out of your mouth. You shall have whatsoever you say. The enemy is trying to get you to speak that over this year so that God, that it may try to cancel God's supernatural assignment in your life and in my life and in the body of Christ this year. In the name of Jesus Christ, this is going to be a year of supernatural acceleration in your life, beginning today forward in Jesus' mighty name. If you believe that, type amen. Hallelujah. And so, like I said, a lot of the, for maybe a lot of us that may be watching, you may be saying, like, because of some things that have already been happening, it seems like this year isn't going to be any different, but the devil is a liar and he is the father of lies. And I want to encourage you not to let the devil discourage you because of how this year may have begun for you. But if you will trust in the word of God, you're going to see God move quickly on your behalf to turn around what the enemy meant for evil. Because hear me tonight, God is saving his best for last. Hallelujah. And so if you could turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 12. Proverbs chapter 13 in verse 12. Let me just type that in here and then I will read this to you. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 12. If you have your Bibles, I just invite you to follow along with me, or your phone or your tablet, whatever it is that you are having, and then mark these scriptures, and then even after the video, let that marinate in your spirit for this year. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 12. Hallelujah. It says this, it says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a dream fulfilled is a tree of life." I want to read that again. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a dream fulfilled is a tree of life. The enemy tries to do everything that he can to delay God's word from coming to pass in our lives. He tries to create circumstances that in the natural seem to hinder, but he can't stop God's word. And matter of fact, I want to, again, I didn't mean to do this, but I want you to see in God's word what it says. Isaiah 55 and verse 11. And I didn't have this in my notes, but I want to read this. Isaiah 55, and Sister Jessie, God bless you. And Isaiah 55 and verse 11. It says, "It is the same with my word." This is God speaking. "It is the same with my word. I send it out and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere that I send it." God's word never fails. When God sends his word out, it will prosper. It will accomplish all that God has sent it to do. So when God sends a word out, and you receive that word, this is one of the things that, again, I think sometimes that us as Christians, we have a tendency sometimes to forget. When God gives you a word, first of all, you know that God has spoken a word over your life. Before you were in your mother's womb, he knew you, and he had called you, and he has placed a calling in your life before you even hit this earth, before you were even born. God has already placed a high purpose for great things to accomplish great things in the earth in your time and in your dispensation. So that word that has been spoken over your life, and then when you receive like a word of knowledge, my mom was even speaking today. I was talking to my mom today, and she said that she was talking yesterday about how the Lord had given her a word of knowledge for somebody, and that, you know, how it was just the right word at the right time. That's what God's word does. And when you receive that word, you receive it with joy. The seed, the Bible says that the word of God is a seed. So it comes out in seed form. Your heart and my heart is a field to receive that seed. So when that word comes, your heart, if it's wide open to receive, and I'm not going to get into the type of the hearts that Jesus gave that parable about, but the Bible says that in that parable, the Bible says that the enemy comes because of that word. So when that word is given, that seed is thrown, and then it hits our heart, and depending on how our hearts are, is depending on the success of that word producing 30, 60, and 100 fold in our life. And so when that seed is thrown by God, not only are we joyful to receive that word and we say yes and amen and begin to pray into that word to come to pass in our life, you know, you have to realize that. You have to partnership with that word. A lot of people, what will happen is that we'll receive a word and then we'll go, okay, thank God. And then we just wait for that word to happen and we don't partnership with that word. As soon as that word gets released, it is now incumbent upon us to now partnership with that word by faith and to continue to declare, God, I thank you that that word is coming to pass, and it is coming to pass quickly in my life in Jesus' name. And you just every day you get up and you confess, thank you, Lord, that your word is coming to pass in my life, that you have spoken over my life. But at the same time that you have heard and received that word, the enemy has also heard that word, and he is going to do everything he can to get you to listen to this, to defer that word. So the Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a dream realized is a tree of life for you and for me. I don't know whatever it is that in your life, that's how you know that's whatever it is. And this is, you know, a lot of people say, I don't know what God's will is for my life. Can I give you a hint? Whatever it is that makes your heart beat, whatever it is that whenever you hear that word or you see even in somebody else's life, you know, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, find those that through faith and patience have obtained the promise and follow them. God places people in your life or in front of you to confirm what you're already feeling in your spirit as sort of a to get you motivated and to see what God is already doing through them because of what Peter says, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, that if you did it through them, God, you will also bring it to pass in my life. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that every one of us that are watching tonight and those that will watch in the future, that God is going to bring this word to their life at just the right moment. Galatians 4:4, that God will come at just the right time and you will receive this word at just the right time, that it's going to stop any discouragement from the enemy, and it's going to stop you from putting your mouth of doubt or fear or unbelief to cause that hope that you are having in God for the calling and the purpose of God for your life to be deferred from your life. Deferment doesn't mean that it's gone. Deferment means that until you come back into agreement with that thing, that it will be stopped or hindered, and that's what the enemy is hoping to do. But as you receive this word of encouragement tonight, let the joy of the Lord and the fulfillment of the word of God, let that just as the word of God is hitting your spirit, let it be encouraged tonight to say yes, amen. And I know what God says, it's true. If he said it, will he not do it? He's not man that he should lie. God will bring that word to pass concerning your life, and I believe God is going to do it through supernatural acceleration in this year in Jesus' mighty name. So, like I was saying, that the enemy hears that word, and what he'll want to do is it's his job to try to get you to get into fear, to get into doubt, to get into unbelief, or to say something that would negate that word. Do you realize that that's what happened when John the Baptist was going to be born? His father, Zechariah, and his mother, they were unable to have children, but as he was ministering before the altar of the Lord, the Bible said the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said, you shall have a child and his name shall be John. But Zechariah, because hope deferred does make the heart sick. You could be watching tonight and you could say, you know what? I've held on to this word, and it may have been years, or maybe it's come to the point where you said, I believe you at your word, but it's just been so long since that word has come to pass. No, it's going to happen at just the right time. God is going to release that. God supernaturally is going to cause that thing to come to pass. But like Zechariah, we cannot say what Zechariah said to the angel of the Lord. I'm so old. How is this possible? Zechariah was speaking out of the natural realm. And that's where we can't bring God's word down to and sacrifice it on the altar of our understanding. And the angel of the Lord, Gabriel, said, how dare you say, he said, I come from the very presence of God, and I'm bringing you this word, and it's going to come to pass. But because you said what you said, I'm going to stop you from being able to speak until John is born. See, what was going on is that God had to stop Zechariah from saying any other thing that would stop or hinder or defer that word from coming to pass. And we have to do the very same thing in our life. The enemy wants to come to get us to speak something, to bring it down in the natural, and to sacrifice it in the altar of our understanding. But we don't do that, and you won't do that in Jesus' name, that we walk by faith and not by sight. That we say, God, if you said it, you're going to do it. And I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't need to know how you're going to do it. The natural circumstances and the things that are going on around me are not going to cause me to say something that's going to defer this any longer in my life. But I believe that in 2020, this year, God is going to move supernaturally and accelerate that word to come to pass in your life in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. So the devil wants to get us to say, what's the use? And so let's look at Genesis chapter 25 and verse 29. I just want to show you this as an example. Genesis chapter 25 and verse 29. Genesis 25 and verse 29. God bless you, Jim. Love you so much. Mama, God bless you. Amen. The time is right. It's now. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. God, hallelujah. God is going to do it in your life. Just receive the word of the Lord. That thing that has been so, you know, that you've almost just put it on the back burner. I'm telling you, bring it back up to the front part of the stove again in your heart, because God is going to bring that thing to pass. I believe this year. And that's why we started the year off, like I said at the beginning of this broadcast. He said, did I not call this fast? I'm going to break forth speedily in your life. God is going to, because we obeyed God and we started our year out and we fasted this year and tied the first part of our year to God, I guarantee you God is going to move supernaturally in on your behalf, and you're going to see the fruit of it by the end of December in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 25 and verse 29. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It says, one day when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau arrived home from the wilderness exhausted and hungry. That's what the enemy wants to do. See, when we get out in the wilderness, or what you would call, you know, the natural world or whatever, and we're doing and we're trying to, you know, trying to walk in. I can't stay here that long to break this down like I would like to, but the wilderness, anytime that, you know, the wilderness is the dry area, or it's the area right before you get, you know, to the promised area, you know, in your life. And so the children of Israel walked in the wilderness, you know, walked around in circles in the wilderness for 40 years because they murmured and complained. The promised land was just a couple days away, but because of what they were saying, it kept deferring the promise. It kept deferring the promise. Why? Because they again, God had to bring them out of slavery. God had to break the slavery mentality, where the Bible says that they even as God was, not only did he bring them out by his, the Bible says, his mighty right hand, he delivered them. He was the rock that they got water out of, that followed them supernaturally, which is the typology of Christ. He led them by a pillar of cloud by day, and by a pillar of fire by night, which is supernatural, and it's the typology of the Holy Ghost, that even as he's bringing you from one area to the other, that God is keeping you cool in the heat of the day, and by his covering, and he is keeping you warm by the Holy Ghost fire at night. When it's dark, he is providing light for you, that while it's dark all around you, and you hear the enemy on the outskirts of that is trying to threaten you, that you feel comforted by the fire of your God, and you are under his protection. But don't allow, as you are getting in, walking in this year and from this day forward into the promise that God has for you, don't allow the enemy to get you to murmur and complain, to defer any further the promise of God for your life. And so this is what was happening with Esau. He was coming out from the natural. And so he was in the natural. So in that field, or like when you work all day and you come home at night, and you know, or you're working the 9 to 5 or whatever the case may be, in that natural sense, you know, we're working in the, you know, the, if you'll allow me, in the world's realm or the world system. If the enemy wants that system to wear you out, to say, you know what, I'm just going to go ahead and just keep working and work another job and work overtime and do this, instead of trusting and speaking and declaring the truth of God's word. No, I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. And God has already given me everything that I need for life and godliness. And as I walk in obedience to him and I do what he has called me to do, he said out of Joshua chapter 1, everywhere that my foot shall tread, he will give me, and everything that I touch shall prosper in Jesus' mighty name. And no matter what, and it seems like right now it's not working in my life, I'm not going to allow it to come out of my mouth to defer my promise in God any longer in Jesus' mighty name. So one day when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau arrived home from the wilderness exhausted and hungry. I'm going to just keep going. Esau said to Jacob, I'm starved. Give me some of that red stew. That's how Esau got his other name, Edom, which means red. All right, Jacob replied, but trade me your rights as the firstborn son. See, and I'm not saying that Jacob was the devil here, so don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying is the enemy is always trying to make a trade-off with you. If you got to know who you are, which I'm going to, you know, read out of Romans chapter 8, verse 14 through 16 in just a minute. If you're a son of God, don't defer. If you're a son of God, don't make a deal with the devil. Don't make a deal with the world. Then see, God has said something over you. The blessing of the firstborn. Hallelujah. Jesus, who was the firstborn of many sons to be born into the kingdom of God by his first, Adam, by one man, death came in, but by one man, Christ Jesus, life came to you and to me, a tree of life, and the promise of restoration exceeding back from the Garden of Eden. God always restores better than the original. Hallelujah. And so you and I are a sons and daughters of the Most High God. Don't get back into the world. Don't make that deal with the devil or the enemy that is trying to get you to give up what God says is yours in Jesus' mighty name. So in verse 31 again, all right, Jacob replied, but trade me your rights as the firstborn son. Look, I'm dying of starvation, said Esau. See, what the enemy wants to do is he wants you to say, look, in the natural, what's the point? If you know, I'm not working right now. Nothing seems to be working like God said it's gonna. I'm telling you by the word of the Lord, hold fast, stand when all you can do to stand. Stand therefore, and you're gonna see the salvation of the Lord. You're gonna see God move by his mighty right hand on your situation and on your circumstance. God has gone before you to make the crooked path straight, and he's walking you into your promise this year in Jesus' mighty name. What good is my birthright to me now? And that's what the enemy wants you to say. What's the point of living for God? You know, what's the point of just staying and paying my tithes and sowing and all of these things that I've been doing? It doesn't seem like that it's working for me. No, hold your peace and let the Lord fight your battles. Your word, you will reap. You will reap in due season if you faint not. God's word is forever settled in heaven and it never fails. And God's word will prosper in all that it's done, that he sent it forth to do in Jesus' mighty name. So in verse 32, look, I'm dying of starvation, said Esau. What good is my birthright? But Jacob said, first you must swear that the birthright is mine. So Esau swore an oath, thereby selling his rights as the firstborn to his brother Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and lentil stew. Esau ate the meal, then got up and left, and he showed his contempt for his birthright. In other words, he didn't take it as seriously as he should. And I'm telling you, that's what the enemy wants to do. That's what he's trying to do. That's what he's done to so many believers, you know, maybe have backslidden or maybe have pulled back from being on the front line of where God has called us to be. God is raising up a mighty army in these last days. Don't settle to be a part of the sideline believer or the nominal believer. Be in the middle of what God has going on. I'm going to tell you, you're going to want to be in the middle of everything that God is doing in this day. This is a supernatural year. And if there was ever a time that you were going to say, God, I'm fully in, I'm jumping in with both feet right now, now is the time for you to do it in Jesus' name. So in other words, what the Old Testament says is that Esau despised his birthright. And so that's what the enemy wants us to do. He wants us to say, what's the use? You know, what good is it to be a Christian if I have to struggle through life? You know, I might as well just concede that this just is going to happen. No, it's not going to happen. And it's not, and what God says, that what the enemy said is not going to happen, what God is saying is going to happen, and it's going to happen quickly in Jesus' mighty name. I want to look at Romans 8 and verse 14. Like I said, Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. Amen, Sister Abby. God bless you. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. And actually, you could read a lot of this chapter is really good, but I'm just going to, I'll just start here. Well, matter of fact, I'll just go back to the, yeah, no, I'll read on 14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father. For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And, you know, just like the again, I'm not going to get into that because I'll go off into a whole other area. But remember the son of the story of the prodigal son, the son that stayed at home. Remember what the father told him. All that I have, son, is yours. Anytime you got ready, you could have thrown a party. Anytime he said, and you know, God said that concerning you. God said that concerning me. He said, it is his good pleasure to give you the kingdom that God will give you and wants to give you the very desires of your heart. When the devil is trying to make us lose hope, the devil is trying to make us lose hope, because when hope is deferred, then the heart is sick, and the enemy wants us to be heart sick. The enemy wants us to go around, again, believing things that aren't true, that God's word is not going to come to pass in my life, and let me just say this. Maybe you feel, and the enemy's trying to make you feel, and I got scripture for this as well, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, that maybe you've done something that is stopping God's, you know, maybe God changed his mind. Let me help you with that. God, the Bible said that God, he will never, never change his mind concerning his call that he has given you. And so anytime, if you are away from the Lord right now, get back in, and God will still fulfill his will and purpose in your life in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, Jenny. That's what I have it underlined too. Psalm 103, 1 and 2. Let's look at that. Psalm 103 and verse 1 and 2. Praise the Lord. It says, let all that I am praise the Lord with my whole heart. I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things that he has done for me. In the King James Version, if you have it, let me know. But I believe it says, and forget not all of his benefits. There is a benefit to being a believer in Jesus Christ. There is a benefit. And I'm going to tell you, now more than ever, if it was ever a question before to the world, the Bible says that as a matter of fact, I'm just going to go ahead and I want to, Isaiah 8:18, I'll just quote it. The Bible says that me and the children that you have gave me, God has called us to be signs and wonders in the earth. And so God, there shall be a difference, the Bible says, between the believer and the unbeliever. That like never before, church, those that are watching, believe me when I tell you that like never before, you're going to see the difference between the righteous and the wicked. God is cutting out all the middle. Jesus died in the middle to take out that middle portion. We are going to be on one side or the other side. God said in the book of Revelation, I wish that you would be hot and or cold, not to be in the middle. God doesn't want us hanging out in the middle ground, halfway in, halfway out. He said that makes him sick, but he would rather us choose one. The Bible also says that Jesus came in down to break down every wall of separation. The thing that is in the middle, Jesus came to take out. And so like never before, before the Lord comes, you're going to see the difference between the righteous and the unrighteous. All of this here in the middle is not God's will. This over here, the right, being the righteous of God, is where God is, and that's where his blessing flows. And then you're going to see the clear difference of the unrighteous. Why? Because of the will and purpose of God, that they may see your life, the Bible said, and give God glory for what he has done, to make them jealous to come over and want to serve the God that is so good to those that are his, in Jesus' mighty name. So there is a benefit to being a son and daughter of the Most High God. Now, I want you to see that before God sends us anywhere, he wants you to realize that God has already loaded you down. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, in these days, I know you can feel it in the spirit realm. If you are not hanging out on the fringes in your maybe cold in your walk with God, or maybe lukewarm or whatever, but if you are on the front lines and you are on fire, full of the power of the Holy Ghost, you are engaging with God on a daily basis, hearing what thus says the Lord. The sons and daughters of God walk in the spirit, being dominated in the spirit realm, and your flesh realm is being put under subjection, like Paul said every day. If you want to walk and be nominal, you may not understand this, but if you come up higher, into where God is drawing us all to be close to the fire. How can we touch fire and not be burned ourselves? So God is calling us to be burning. He is an all-consuming fire for every part of our lives to be consuming in him. I know you sense the fact that when you are especially filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, God places within us a package that is unstoppable. And so Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Let's look what that says. Ephesians chapter 1. And verse 3. Hallelujah. Amen, Sister Connie. Amen, Brother Randy. God bless you. It says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus, who has blessed us. So I want you to understand, that is in the past tense. I had to check my mom knows my English grade. So, but that's in the past tense. So it's not just in the now, even though we possess it now. But when you become saved, that's already, he endues us with these things. So he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. So we are prepackaged for success. I'm thinking of another scripture here. We are prepackaged for success. And I want to just read this here. I got to type in Ephesians 1. But I want you to in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 19, where listen to what this says. It says, they will fight you, but they will fail. For I am with you, and I will take care of you. I, the Lord, have spoken. So it's the enemy's job to try to come against you, but God has already promised you the victory, and I'm going to show you that through 2 Corinthians as well. So God has already prepackaged you. Whenever you say yes to Christ, and then again, you're saved, and if you're saved and you're not filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, you need to continue. You know, the Bible says to desire. God tells us to desire the best gifts. And so if Matthew 7:11, God says, if us being evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will God give good gifts or the Holy Spirit to those that desire it? So the Spirit being filled with the out of Acts chapter 2 is the example where we get that from. To be filled with the Holy Ghost and fire is the endowment of power. Jesus told the disciples, wait in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Then you shall be my witnesses. Maybe the power that some of you are missing is that you're not, the next step after getting saved is to wait on God until you are endued with power from on high. And when that fire hits your life, God endues you with the Holy Ghost power that you make, like Peter before Acts chapter 2, couldn't even witness to a couple of servant girls around the fire of the world. But when he was touched by Holy Ghost fire, hallelujah, when that sound from heaven broke in, when the Ruach of God filled them and breathed in their nostrils, as Jesus breathed upon the disciples and said, be filled with the Holy Ghost, that Ruach, or that breath of God, makes you come alive, and you become everything that God has said that you are able to do. Because we know that this is not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. It's not me. If it was me, we knew. With God, without God, we could do nothing. But with God and his power, we could do all things through Christ that strengthens us. And so that is the key. Maybe that's what you've been missing. Get filled to the overflow with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and pray in your prayer language, and let the Holy Ghost build you up from the inside out, because that's what the Bible says. He says, when you pray in your prayer language, hallelujah, that you're building up your inner man, you're strengthening and edifying. Where you were weak, you become strong, and you don't even understand. I don't even know all the way how it works. All I know is that as you do what God says do, you become strong, amen, in him, and you become bold as a witness for God in this natural realm. And you're not just like when Saul got anointed in the Old Testament. The Bible says that he came. Once the Holy Spirit came on him, he became as if he was another man. That's literally an Old Testament example of what God does to us when we get infilled with the power of the Holy Ghost and with fire. In Jesus' mighty name, that's going to happen for you. If you have not received that yet, by faith believe. And as you feel, just wait on the Lord. And as you feel that bubbling up, coming up in your spirit, you feel by faith, the same way you got, let it out. And it may only seem like it's a little bit of, something, or, you know, that whatever. Let that come out and let it build. And just as you had a language that wasn't so sophisticated when you were first learning to speak in the natural, it's the same way in the Holy Ghost. And as you begin to speak, the Lord, He increases your prayer language to where it becomes more powerful and more bold, and it increases your power as you begin to speak in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. Look at what it says here, and I have it in the New Living Translation, so I don't know if it's going to come across as powerful, but it says, but thank God, he has made us captives and continues to lead us along in Christ's triumphal procession. Now he uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere like a sweet perfume. The Bible says, thanks be unto God who always leads us, or always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Wherever God sends you, I pray that you like, understand, God, He, wherever He is sending you, whatever call is on your life, you've already been prepackaged for success. God could drop you into the middle of the war zone, and He knows because of what He has placed in you, and because of Christ is with you, the power of God is on you and in you, that you are going to turn, because of God is going to use you to turn whatever situation that He sends you into around for God's glory. In Jesus' mighty name, thanks be unto God who always leads us or always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. That wherever we go, we release the perfume of heaven. Wherever we go, the atmosphere, it smelled like death before we got there. But blessed be the name of the Lord. We're bringing the aroma of life into whatever situation that God is calling us to. And it's going to change just like, hallelujah, just like when the woman began, again, I believe, and Mama, help me if I'm wrong, but there was a man that Jesus was in the room with that literally, I believe he had leprosy, and it smelled like death, and then a lady came in and broke perfume, and all of a sudden what smelled like flesh, and at the least, I know he was religious, but when death was there, it had to give way to the aroma of worship and praise. Life injected and was infused into that situation. And guess what? Life always trumps death in Jesus' mighty name. And so wherever God sends us, though it may be rough right now, continue to lift your hands and give God praise in the middle of that circumstance. And the aroma of life is going to come and infuse and take over and dominate where the smell of death was. In Jesus' mighty name. God has already given you and me the victory before He sends us anywhere. And now I just want to look at it as an example, and I'm going to wrap up here. John chapter 6. This is so powerful. And I know many of us may be familiar with this, so let this just be an encouraging reminder for you. John chapter 6 and verse 16. Hallelujah. 16 through 21. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It said, that evening, Jesus' disciples went down to the shore to wait for Him. But as darkness fell, and Jesus still hadn't come back, they got into the boat and headed across the lake. Now, I don't need to tell you the importance of trying to get ahead of God. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And so the wording here is just a friendly reminder to us. Don't get ahead of God. Wait on the Lord. Wait, I say, upon the Lord. And when you do that, God will surely show you the victory. He has already given you the victory. And that's what He did time and time all the way through the Old Testament as an example for us. That He is faithful. And then when God's on the scene, you will always dominate your enemy. You and God are always the majority, no matter the number of the enemy that is coming against you. So God wants you to realize that. So it says they were waiting for Jesus, but He still hadn't come back. So they got in the boat and headed across the lake towards Capernaum. Soon a gale swept down upon them, and the sea grew very rough. They had rowed 3 or 4 miles. Then suddenly they saw Jesus walking on the water toward the boat. They were terrified, but He called out to them. Jesus called out to them, "Don't be afraid. I am here." Now, again, don't miss the wording. You know, obviously in the other Gospels, it said Jesus told them and had spoken a word to them, "Get in the boat and go to the other side." God's word had already been released upon their circumstances. There was no chance of failure for them. There was no chance of failure for them. Jesus had already spoken. The word was already released. They were going to get to the other side if they didn't allow the circumstances that came up to cause them to get into fear, to doubt, into unbelief. While they were in the middle of that circumstance, in another, the Bible says the Lord was up on a mountain and looked down and saw that they were in trouble. The Lord came walking to them on the water, and He said, "I am is here. Don't worry. Don't worry." You know, my mom and I were talking about this today, that what, and you know, we're literally, God told, or Moses told the Lord, "Show me your ways that I may know you. Show me. I want to know you." And so the Bible says that God showed his ways to Moses, but his acts to the children of God. There's a level of intimacy there. But as in this, you know, my mom was and I were talking about this today. The Lord will walk. He said, but so the Lord put him in the cleft of the rock, held with his hand, was holding them and let him, and walked by him so that he could see his hinder parts. Now, again, the pleats of God's robe, every time, whatever it is, you know, and I whatever that you're going through right now, I want you to understand the importance of I am. When God says, don't worry, I am is here. He's literally telling you whatever your need is already taken care of in me. He is I am Jehovah Jireh, your provider. I am Jehovah Nisi, your banner, your victory. If you feel like you're being defeated, amen, don't be afraid. So, and then if you, Jehovah Rapha, God, your healer, as he opens up the pleats of his robe, he is revealing every part of who he is. Depending on the circumstance that you're in, God is going to meet and exceed your need in the middle of what storm the enemy is trying to place in your life right now. So Jesus went to them and he called out to them, don't be afraid, I am here. There's a little asterisk on the bottom of this. It says, or the I am is here is the announcement that Jesus made. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Then they were eager to let him in the boat. Amen. I bet they were. You anytime. That's why you got to invite God in. Make sure that God is a part of your situation or your circumstance. You know, make sure that you invite God into this situation. He's your ever-present help in the time of need. Hallelujah. When my heart is overwhelmed within me, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Where does your help come? My help comes from the Lord, the creator of the heavens and the earth. So you got to make sure that God is involved every step of the way. And that's why, you know, according, you know, to what the psalm says, yea, though I walk through the valley, it's not where you're hanging out. Though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because it does, let the devil do his worst. I am is with me, for thou art with me. I am is with me. It doesn't matter how bad that the devil wants to blow. He can blow until he, you know, asphyxiates. As far as I'm concerned, he can, you know, huff and puff and try to do whatever he wants to do, like that three little pig story. Your house is built upon a firm foundation, the rock, Christ Jesus. No matter what storm is coming up against your life, your house shall remain and it shall stand as a tribute and a testimony to the goodness and the faithfulness of God in your life in Jesus' mighty name. It says, so then they eagerly let him on the boat. And then look at this last sentence. And immediately, someone type that in, please. In the comments, and immediately they arrived at their destination. Supernatural acceleration. As soon as Jesus, look, did you catch that? They were in the middle of the sea. As far from their start is their ending destination. Thank you, baby. So they were in the middle, halfway through. Thank you, Sister Rachel. Halfway across, where the enemy is trying to get you to defer hope. He's trying to get you to give up. He's trying to get you to say a word of doubt that is going to defer or push back even further the promise of God for your life. But the devil is a liar. You stand, you bring the I am is here. Be not afraid. Invite him in if you haven't already in your situation, in your circumstance. Don't be afraid. Don't worry about what the enemy's trying to do. And when Jesus is on your boat, look at the supernatural acceleration. They were halfway across when Jesus got in their boat. As soon as Jesus got in, the Bible says supernaturally they were brought to the other side. That is supernatural acceleration. Immediately when Jesus got in their boat, he thrust them forward through time and got them to the destination to where his word says they were going to be. And that's what's going to happen for you this year in Jesus' mighty, unfailing, never weak one moment. His name means victory. And everything has to bow to that name. Everything, the heavens on the earth and below the earth, bow to the mighty name of Jesus Christ. and the I am is in your boat. And God is going to supernaturally accelerate you to the area where he has promised you this year in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And I have like, I know you guys, there, I'm Sister Connie, amen. Mama, amen. Sister Kathy, amen. Sister Abby, God bless you all. As you know, this, I'm telling you, if you will receive this word today and believe it in your heart, man, I'm going to tell you, this year supernaturally is going to be an accelerated year for the body of Christ in Jesus' name. I'm going to, in the book of Amos 9, and I don't know how good this translation is going to be. And again, Amos chapter 9 and verse 13. Hallelujah. Amos chapter 9 and verse 13. Glory to God forever. Yep. So, praise the Lord. This is Amos chapter 9 and verse 13. The time will come, says the Lord, when the grain and the grapes will grow faster than they could be harvested. Then the terraced vineyards on the hills of Israel will drip with sweet wine. I will bring my exiled people back from Israel from distant lands. So literally, this is that scripture that you heard in the Old Testament, or you heard in the King James Version, that says, I will, the reaper and the sower will start to get confused. That's where, in other words, God's saying, I'm going to speed this up so supernaturally that you're going to put seed in the ground and you're going to forget, did I sow or am I reaping? Did I sow or am I reaping? Did I sow or am I reaping? And I'm telling you, I feel this with everything that is in my spirit for this year. Because we have obeyed the Lord. Because we have done everything that God has told us to do. With it, you know, that he is on our side. We started out our year as unto the Lord. We dedicated this year unto the Lord. God is supernaturally thrusting us forth. And by the time this year is over, we're going to forget. Did I sow now? Is this the reaping? We're going to forget. Which seed did I sow in order for this reaping that I'm receiving? Right. Matter of fact, just lift your hands and receive. Father, I dig over you right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak the word of the Lord, supernatural acceleration, where you're going to literally be confused about what harvest is this from? Because I know I've sowed, but which one is this? And God is going to supernaturally move, increase and harvest of the reaping of the harvest. You're going to receive it this year in year 2020 in Jesus' mighty name. The accelerated harvest of the Lord is moving on your behalf this year in Jesus' mighty name. I want to read this other scripture if I could find it here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to your name, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Joel chapter 2. Beginning at verse 25. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The Lord says, listen to what the Lord is saying over your life. The Lord says, I will give you back what you lost. Whew. To the swarming locust, the hopping locust, the stripping locust, and the cutting locust, it was I who... So, in other words, the Lord says, I will return unto you everything that the enemy has stolen from you. I will give it back. Everything that the palmer worm, the canker worm, and the grasshopper has stolen from you, I will supernaturally give it back. Everything that you thought you have lost, everything that you thought you have lost all the way. And that's what I was saying. Maybe the enemy is trying to tell you, hey, you know, maybe you've done this and maybe you've done that. Get back on the Lord's side. Get back. Oh, it's one cry away. Jesus, restore me. Jesus, restore me. I'm ready, Lord. And just like the Bible says, that as even as the prodigal, you may be running from the Lord. You may be running from your calling. But the Bible said that the son remembered and he said unto himself, I will arise and return back to my father. And what the son didn't realize was, is he was going to settle to be a servant. And the Bible says the father went out every day and saw from afar off. I'm going to tell you the difference, and which is another accelerated move. The Bible says, draw nigh unto me, and I shall draw nigh unto you. What the enemy wants you to think is even after you get up to return back, hallelujah, oh, it's going to take this, and it's going to take, you know, that long. I'm telling you, there's not enough time. The Lord is coming soon, and there is going to be a supernatural acceleration even on those that return back to the Lord, because you take one step, and by human means, you can take a huge step, and it still would seem to be so far away from God. But that's your step. But again, the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, and all that dwells therein. The Bible says he sits on the circumference of the earth, and the earth is his footstool. In other words, when God takes a step, it immediately, supernaturally brings him close to. All you have to do is make a move, and God will make a move. And his move is supernatural, and it will accelerate you right into his presence in Jesus' name. And God said, I'll restore everything back to you as it was originally intended in Jesus' mighty name. So I want to, let me read this here. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. I want you to see this, because this is another area. Let me type it in here. Acts verse 8 and 26 through, I'm going to read through the 40th verse. Watch this. This is so, I love this story. As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, go south down to the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Kandaki, the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning. Seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk along beside the carriage. Philip, actually in the King James Version, it says, attach yourself to it. Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. Philip asked, do you understand what you are reading? The man replied, how can I unless someone instructs me? And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and to sit with him. The passage of scripture he had been reading was this: he was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shears, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else? So beginning with this same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. As they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, excuse me, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized? He ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Watch this. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Meanwhile, Philip found himself further north at the town of Azotus. He preaching the good news there and in every town along the way until he came to Caesarea. That is supernatural acceleration. You are going to be doing what God has called you to do. I'm telling you, God, you know, people, sometimes I think we read the word and we think that, oh, that's just nice. And that was just for that time. No, that is supernatural acceleration. You're going to be ministering, going to be doing, you know, people are going to say, well, I'm using this as a point and as a reference. That was, you know, who knows how long that would have took Philip to walk there. to that other city that the Holy Spirit needed him to be right now. And I don't know, again, where God needs you to be right now, but God, wherever God needs you to be, he's going to supernaturally accelerate you to be there so that you can do what he has called you to do in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to read this last scripture here in John chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And then I'm just going to pray over us. I'll take any prayer request that you have, any prayer request that you might have. If you will type in that prayer request, I will pray with you and agree. God says, if two or three gather together concerning anything on earth, it will be done of our Father, which is in heaven. So John chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Beginning at verse 1, and I'm going to read through the 10th verse. It says, the next day there was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus's mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. The wine supply ran out during the festivities, so Jesus' mother told him they have no more wine. Jesus said, dear woman, that's not our problem. My time has not yet come. But the mother told the